Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want to welcome you to another broadcast on Blog Talk Radio of our program, Prophetic News, News for the End Times, and for the End Time Church, the Remnant Church. And we definitely have a problem today, don't we? If you haven't noticed, there is so much false teaching in the church, and we are going to talk about that today, the destruction of the American church. And also, we'll be going over a few of the news stories of this past week. I want to remind you that the chat room is open, and also this is a live call-in program. So if you would like to call in, the number is 914-338-1638, and you're welcome to call in with your questions or comments, and we'll be looking for them. Also, we do have a YouTube channel. It's called Prophetic News TV, and we have a website, propheticnews.com, and I am in the process of totally revising the website, so we haven't really been updating it for the past few months because I am going to be updating the look of it and just changing some things around. So be looking out for that, for a new website. And also our YouTube channel will be, in the next few months, we'll be spending more time doing some videos. If not on YouTube, maybe on some other video channels, because I'm a little upset with YouTube. I hope that they will change their policy. It's very unfair, I've talked about this before. I don't know, some of you may not have heard, but many of the so-called pimp preachers, and I will call them pimp preachers because they sell the gospel, and they've sold out to manipulating people to support them without trusting God and operating their ministries by faith. And that's what we are to do. If we're in any kind of public ministry, we should be doing it for one reason, and that is to reach the people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not in it for our own gain. So we don't have to manipulate people to give us money. We have to trust God for finances. We live by faith. So when someone is manipulating you to give seed faith offerings and tithing and the rest of it, that's not of God. God doesn't require that you pay him for anything, because everything is a free gift. And we get things from God by asking. He knows our needs, he said, even before we ask. But anyway, YouTube has had this policy where they allow people to file these false copyright claim charges against ministries that they don't like. If you say anything, for instance, about Creflo Dollar or Paula White, or Mike Murdoch, or Kenneth Copeland, they will try to shut you down, and they have been successful in shutting down a few channels. They merely have to file these claims with YouTube saying that you've committed some kind of a copyright infringement, which isn't true, because if you're doing any kind of commentary, which we do, you're allowed to use copyright material, small portions of it anyway, such as photographs and maybe audio clips or video clips to tell your do your reporting. But they file these claims against you, and then if there's three claims filed, YouTube shuts your channel down. So it's not fair that we're being gagged, in a sense. We should be able to tell the truth. I'm not trying to have their YouTube channel shut down. You know, God's perfectly able of shutting them down, so he doesn't need my help. But anyway, so we might be using some of the other, I do have some videos up also on Ultimate Tube and maybe some of the other video channels. Of course, YouTube is the most well-known, so we do get quite a few visitors to our YouTube channel. And also, we're very grateful for all our listeners on Blog Talk Radio. God has blessed our efforts, and we're very, very pleased with that. But you know that Jesus Christ saved us. He died on the cross. He came to earth, and he died on a cross. Now, when he came to earth, he came in fashion, in the form of a man. He looked like a man. He dressed like a man, but Jesus Christ himself was never 100% human. I know people say that. I don't know where they get that from, because I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see 100% human and 100% God, because that can't be, because God doesn't think like us. So we did a program a few weeks ago about could Jesus Christ ever sin, and I just wanted to add one comment to that program. When Jesus Christ walked with his apostles, they knew he was different. They didn't say, well, wow, Jesus is one of us. He's one of the guys. He's got the same temptations we do. Well, no, they didn't do that. They knew he was different. He came to show us the way, and he led a totally sinless, pure life in thought, word, and deed. So, no, Jesus Christ was never tempted in the way men are tempted. That just couldn't happen, because God can't be tempted with sin or with evil like we can. And we notice that in these days that we're living in, we're seeing, isn't it strange? Now, I've been in Florida on and off since 1981. And the other day, we had maybe between 15 and 20 inches of rain fall within a 24-hour period. I never saw so much rain since I've been here in Florida. It was a little frightening, because you do have to worry about flooding. The weather certainly is strange. We're seeing these very high temperatures in Kansas. We're seeing these terrible wildfires in Colorado now. Over 300 homes have been totally destroyed. Imagine how devastating that is, to lose your home and you have nowhere to go. We really need to pray that they get some rain out there and these fires are put out. Also, you know that we are coming upon the 4th of July season, and I know I have some crazy neighbors. I have a neighbor actually that did start a fire out in the brush one year from shooting fireworks, and he still does it. And they shoot off rockets, and the sparks go flying on people's roofs. It's very, very frightening. So please be a good neighbor and don't shoot your fireworks off around people's homes. It's not kind. It's not thoughtful. It's very, very reckless. And it is against the law, actually. I don't know why. It is against the law in our county, but they allow people to come and set up these stands and sell these rockets. I don't understand why the county allows it, since it is illegal. But people actually have to fill out a form to buy fireworks. They have to say that they're using it to scare away animals on their farm. And so they have to lie to purchase the fireworks, and then they shoot them off around your home. So it's very frightening, but please be aware of that this holiday season, and take your fireworks somewhere where there's, you know, shoot them out in the ocean or something, or don't shoot them off at all. You don't really need to. They're dangerous. They're dangerous to you and your children and to your neighbors. Yeah, good to be a good neighbor, amen. But we see so much, it's so thoughtless to me that people do these kind of things, and we see that people, don't we see so many hit and runs these days where people run people over and they take off? I've never seen anything like it. The total lack of respect for human life. Now, what do you think of socialized medicine being passed here in this country? I am not a fan of socialized medicine in any way. I know for me and some of the family members that I have that they're always at the doctor, and they've spent their life making hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even $1 million worth of medical bills, the four of them, throughout their life, and mainly somebody else has to pay for it because people absolutely refuse to take control over their weight, over their eating habits, and then they want somebody else to pay. And it's really not fair because you are responsible for your health, and ultimately you're the one. The doctors can't heal you. They can't heal anybody, and they know that. Only Jesus can heal you. But I had taken so many trips to England in the past, and I was introduced to socialized medicine there, and it was a total disaster. The hospitals, sometimes people would have to wait a year or two to get an operation because there was such a backlog. And also, people were put into wards. Now, remember, they don't really do that anymore in this country, where you're put in a ward with 20 or 30 people in one room, men and women. Now, I actually visited a friend that was in a hospital there, and that's where she was. She was in a ward with men and women, and they have to share the same bathroom. And it was really awful. I wouldn't give 2 cents for socialized medicine. It's not a good thing, and it's not really going to help anybody. Also, it's going to increase the number of abortions because they put something in there to pay for abortions. So how can any Christian support that? Of course we can't, because we don't support abortion in any way, shape, or form. And also, they don't really want to take care of old people. But we see that so much now. They make you sign this paper, or you can sign a paper saying that to withhold food and water if you're sick so that you die, and then they pump you full of morphine until you do die, and they don't give you any food or water to drink. But don't sign that paper. You know, if you don't want to be on a breathing machine, that's okay, because if you're not breathing on your own, you're not alive, really. Don't let them withhold food and water. It can take up to 10 days to die, and it's not a nice way to die. So make sure if you have a living will or anything like that, you are aware of that, that you don't withhold food and water. But the church today is kind of a reflection of what's going on in the world, because we've become so worldly, and we want to be accepted by the world, and we've brought so much of the world into the church. And it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? I just looked in the chat room. Hi, Vincent. God bless you. Thanks for coming by today. And if you'd like to call in, go ahead. Vincent would love to hear from you. But, you know, there's so many false brethren out there. And I was watching a few church services today, and I was shocked at what I saw. I was just some of these well-known preachers, and I won't even mention the name because I don't want to even promote what they're doing at all. And I really had been praying for this one particular preacher, and I can't believe it. This morning, he actually brought this witch into the church service and let her minister to his people, and it was really awful. Very, very sad. Very, very sad state of affairs. And it always usually revolves around the money, taking up an offering. And when anybody has to use any form of manipulation to fund a ministry, well, then you have to run for your life because it's not of God. We want to see this remnant church operate in the Holy Spirit and by faith. And, you know, some of us grew up in the Word of Faith movement, and remember they always used to talk so much about faith. It was always about faith, and you have to have faith. And yet they never had, none of them ever had faith when it came to the finances of their ministry, because they were always had some kind of a gimmick to raise funds. They preach tithing, which tithing is not faith, it's works. And the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So, you know, they're saying one thing and then they're practicing another. So it was kind of an oxymoron, but at that time I couldn't really see it because I was totally into the Word of Faith movement till about 1995, and then thank you, Jesus, he delivered me. But I'm going to take this call. God bless you. Hi.
Hello. Hey, Susan. How you doing?
Good. Hi. How are you, Vincent?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I was just going to listen, but you said call in, so I said do the common courtesy and call in. So
good. I'm glad you did.
I was waiting for you yesterday, and I saw that the show was today, and I said, okay, well, you know.
I had to postpone because I was defrosting my freezer, and I couldn't get away from it. I started doing it, and thank God it's hot in the garage because it defrosted in a few hours, but I said I just wouldn't be able to do the program, so then I said I'll just do it on Sunday. And I don't like to do that, but, you know, you have to be in the mood to defrost a freezer.
Yeah. Especially all the ice, you got to chip it out and everything. And
it's so hot in the garage, it was actually over 90 degrees, and the freezer on the bottom has a drain hole. So it melts. And then it drains out a tube, so you don't have to chip this one, so that's nice. And
oh,
with
okay.
the heat, yeah, with the heat, but you just have to monitor the water so it doesn't spill over on the floor. So you're running back and forth, but anyway, that's what happened. I apologize to everybody because I don't like to do that, but I said, okay, Lord, you know. I repent because it's good to be, you know, if you say you're going to be there, you should be there. But anyway, so what's on your mind today?
Well, not too much, a lot of heat.
Oh, how hot is it there? You're in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, the past 2 days we hit 105 degrees.
No.
Which is the hottest that has ever been in this area, ever.
Wow. We've never had that in Florida that I remember since I've been
really?
Here ever. I mean, even now, let me tell you what it is right now. It's 87.
87 degrees. Where are you?
I'm near Tampa.
You got to be kidding me. I need to move to Tampa. I love Tampa. I visited there 2 years ago, so it'll be a nice city that I can fit
into. I'm telling you, and I hopefully it's going to stay like this. But now I've been living in Florida on and off since 1981, but I never remember one day where it was over 95 ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, sweetie, we're moving to Florida.
Yes. And actually, the night before, it was actually in the low 70s.
Wow.
Really nice. Now, we do have good weather in Florida. I know people might find it hard to believe. I grew up in New Jersey, and we had hotter summers there than we ever had here in Florida. So
wow.
But hopefully it won't get like that. I mean, I can't, 105, now that is some miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, and today it's going to get up to about 101, so it's
crazy. And
the
humidity is just as high, isn't it, in North Carolina?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I temperature's so high, probably ain't no humidity.
Yeah. Yeah, forget about it. But that sounds like it's a fire going somewhere to happen.
Yeah. And just to follow you up on your warnings about the fireworks, those of you all listening, please take heed, because we don't, it's too hot. I mean, if you're going to set off fireworks, do it in a pool or something. I mean, it's not time to do it.
No, I mean, it's very, very frightening. I can't believe the lack of neighborly concern. And it is very alarming. One year I was sitting here I was so scared because the goofy neighbor was shooting off rockets and the sparks were flying over our roof. It was very frightening.
Wow.
Yeah. And people don't realize that you can't really shoot those things off around houses because they can't set somebody's roof on fire. And that's all you need, especially in these dry, hot conditions. I think they should ban them, and that would be the solution, because people don't think, but you see the same thing in the church today. You see the lack of love and concern for each other, and even people doing, even in their giving, they only give because they want something.
Yeah. And that's a sad state of affairs. And just to let you know, a friend of mine who happens to live in Florida, he lives in Fort Walton Beach. He and I are supposed to be getting together on a book, and it's supposed to be called "Lord Help Deliver Us from Church Folks."
All right.
It's going to talk about something like that because, I tell people, I don't know if this is a good confession or whatever, but I'm just tired of church folks. And when I say church folks, I'm not talking about Christian people or anything like that. I'm just talking about those folks that when you see in church, you got to walk on eggshells every time you're around them. You got to watch what you say.
Don't make a bad confession.
Yeah, don't speak that.
How are you today? Oh, I'm wonderful. Meanwhile, the whole world feels like it's crashing in around you, but you can't make a bad confession.
Yeah. And you can't even say, someone come up to you, they say, "Well, how are you doing?" And I say, "Oh, I'm good." "Good? Boy, that's a bad confession. You better say you're blessed. You're blessed."
Yeah, you're blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Yes.
It just gets on my nerve, and I just like, oh gosh, I'm sick of this.
Well, the thing is, it's part of the destruction of the American church is that there is no compassion. Where if you were going to church and you wanted to be ministered to, and you could actually open up about what you were going through, and somebody could put their arm around you and maybe even shed a tear to have some compassion for you, instead, no, it's just a smack on the back and oh, just you're blessed no matter what. And remember, I don't know, Vincent, if you remember, but I remember back in the days, probably in the 80s, when the Word of Faith movement was becoming very, very popular. And then if somebody would die of a sickness, oh, what did we do? We would say, oh, wow, they must have been in they didn't have enough faith to get their healing.
Yeah. And that still goes on today. And I even hear people say things like, well, you shouldn't be dying of the same diseases that the people in the world are dying from. And what I guess people have forgotten about the will of God in everything.
Yeah, God is sovereign.
You know, and they forget about that. And it's almost like you have to create your own reality, you know, create your own utopia or something like that. And that's not scriptural.
Well, no, we're not. We're in this world, and we're not in heaven yet. But isn't it amazing too how we as Christians, we believe in heaven. We want to go to heaven. But then again, when somebody dies, we're very upset about it. Of course, if it is somebody close to you, you do have the time for grieving. But yet, they've gone on to be with the Lord, and they would never want to come back. But yet we say we believe in heaven, but we don't want to go there.
Yeah, not yet. You know, I haven't gotten my Rolls Royce yet. I haven't gotten my mansion yet. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very weird. It's very very weird. But we noticed, and when I started to notice that people like Kenneth Hagin, he died of some kind of a heart condition.
Yeah.
And
he's the one that started that whole thing anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, him and, because he got most of his teachings from E.W. Kenyon. In fact, he copied almost word for word from Kenyon in his books. But we were taught that, yes, you weren't supposed to die of any sickness. You just go on to be with the Lord. But yet when anybody died, we always thought, well, wow, they didn't have enough faith, or they were in sin, or they were making the wrong confessions. And it was so heartless.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's a lack of compassion.
Yeah, but we're really seeing that. I see, I've noticed that especially in the new generation of Christians, and I've been born again since 1981, so that's a little over 30 years, but I'm seeing that maybe people that have just been saved maybe within the last 10 years, because their foundation to me isn't very strong. Most of the churches they've grown up in, it's now you go and it's an entertainment center, there's dancing, lights, there's smoke, there's a coffee shop. The focus isn't on going on Sunday morning and hearing a sermon. And it's more around the entertainment aspect and also the seeker-friendly, where we don't want to say anything to upset anyone. We don't talk about hell, and we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And we don't talk about sin. No, we talk about mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I see that there is a definite difference between some people that grew up in the faith many years ago, when there wasn't so many different Bible translations. I think even all the different Bible translations have a lot to do with the way the Word of God's been watered down.
Yeah.
And they can make the Bible say anything they want it to say, and they do.
Yeah.
And I notice that there's like so much confusion in the church world today, especially where absolute truth is concerned.
Yeah, that's so true. And I remember when I first came into the faith back in 1986. You know, it was like Jesus is coming back any day now. You know, I mean, don't even make plans for 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Jesus is coming back. And, you know, my thing was, I was like, okay, well, I'll probably never get married or anything like that. You know, preachers will come in, they'll say, oh, well, you know, if you all are planning for 20 years, you know, it ain't going to be no 20 years. Well, now here it is, almost 26 years, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of what they said hasn't come to pass, you know. And I still do believe that any day now, Jesus is soon to come. But the Bible also says we need to occupy until he comes. Don't be concerned about when he comes. You just need to be doing the work until he comes. And see, when we really break that down, you know, there really is no room for the prosperity message, because a lot of prosperity message to me is it's a distraction. Because
yeah.
It's like, okay, you got to get your stuff, you got to get your mansion. You know, the reason why you're not living in a mansion, because you're not seeking it and you're not believing God and everything and stuff like that. And, you know, I find it hard to believe that if I die and I never had a mansion or something, I just lived in an apartment and I stand before God and God's going to say, I can't let you in because you didn't believe me for a house. And I've actually heard people say that they believe that when you stand before God for judgment, that he's going to show you all the things you could have had when you lived in the earth. Now, you mean to tell me, I'm looking around at heaven. They're saying the blessings you can't even describe. I'm looking around there, and God is telling me, oh, you could have had a Rolls Royce and a mansion, and you're looking around at him, and you're like, I don't care about all that. Look at what I'm going to have now, you know. I mean, it's crazy, and it. You know, there's really no room for the prosperity message, really. We need to be talking about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's all we need to be talking about. That's all that matters.
That's right.
And if you live in a big house and, you know, thank God for that and everything. But reason why a lot of times Jesus talked against prosperity and everything, you know, some people say he wants you to be rich and everything. But a lot of times the reason why he spoke against it was because he knows human nature. When we get a lot of money, what do a lot of us do? We get that money and we're like, forget God. Hey, I got my money. You know. And
yeah.
I was a missionary for 3 years, and we would go around the country. We've been to Birmingham, went to New York, and the easiest neighborhoods to get into were the projects.
Yeah.
But you go to those rich neighborhoods where people have $1 million homes, those were the hardest neighborhoods to get into because those people feel like they don't need God because they got the money,
yeah.
They got their car, they got their house. And sad to say, a lot of Christians are like that.
Well, a lot of Christians, but the Bible says not to trust in uncertain riches.
That's right. And we for some reason, we forget that. I don't understand why we forget what the Bible has to say about that. And I'm not here to beat anybody over the head because you're a millionaire or anything like that. I will not beat anybody over the head because they got millions of dollars and everything. But we need to be talking about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You know, if we get the mansion, you know, praise God. If we don't, praise God anyway.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, we need to get out of this, you know, live your best life today, and, you know, God wants you to be a winner, and, you know, we need to get out of that.
Well, you know, it's a false gospel because, like I was saying before about the fires and the heat and the floods and the things that are going on, and they're saying even on the news, on the Drudge Report today that the power has gone out in D.C., and that the power is supposed to be out for a few days. So what do you say to people like that, people in Colorado, over 400 people, I would say probably today over 400 homes have been destroyed. What do you say to these people? Oh, live your best life now. And that sounds good, but it's not realistic because in this world, Jesus promised one of the promises, and they don't talk about this one, is that you will have tribulation.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Well,
now, none of us like
to
go through it, but
you're not supposed to have tribulation because if you're speaking against it, you're not supposed to have tribulation. You know, that's what they'll tell you.
I heard Jesse Duplantis saying, well, during the hurricane in New Orleans, we drew a line around our property. And to me, it was very boastful and very prideful because how does he think the other people felt, the ones that were, you know, their bodies were floating in the water and their homes were destroyed? Was it because they didn't pray a protection around their property? I'm sure there was good Christian people in those houses.
Oh yeah. And just like it'll rain on the just and the unjust. Sometimes disaster comes to the just and the unjust as well. And the thing about it is, what the trying of your faith is, how are you going to deal with the situation? Your faith is not speaking something to the point where, you know, I'm going to believe God that this is not going to happen. Your faith is when you're going, see, I have a personal motto, the only way you're going to get to is to go through. And you're going to go through something, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we're just going to have to sit back and realize that some of us, we're going to have our trials, we're going to have our tribulations, but it's your faith that's going to carry you through that time, you know, just like the footprints poem, you know, where the man said, I only see one set of footprints, and Jesus said, well, the reason why you see one set of footprints is because I was carrying you.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have your trials and tribulations. It's not going to be all peaches and cream and sunshine dreams and everything like that all through your life, you know. And a lot of people, they think it's a bad confession when you say, you know, hey, I'm having it hard. Oh, no, you're not. Don't speak that. Don't. And, you know, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, Susan. Sometimes I just want to backhand some people. I'm just going to be
I'm
honest.
I'm telling you. I can't take it.
I mean, it just drives me nuts, you know. I mean, I'm having a hard time, and I can't find no compassion. You know, like, okay, bro, I know you're having a hard time, but just keep the faith. God will see you through it and everything, instead of, well, you didn't speak it, and you're not walking by faith. Come on now.
I know. It's heartless. It's really heartless, but it's a fact today that the church has become very, very selfish and self-centered. And I actually heard this preacher saying, I was watching a couple of these church services this morning, and this preacher said, we bust in 40 homeless men here today, and we're going to give each and every one of them $20. Now, you're going to get $20 from us today, and you're going to be able to buy some clothes and a hot meal. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
$20? Are you kidding? A pair of jeans might cost $20.
What is wrong with you?
Let me guess. This was a ministry worth millions.
Oh, yeah. Well, supposedly. But, you know, last week they were saying that they sold a big piece of property for a lot of money. And this week he's saying that he was so broke, he had to borrow money for himself because he didn't have any money. And then he's saying, hook yourself. Now, I want to tell you people, you have to hook yourself into something that's successful. So if you're hooked into this ministry, you're going to be blessed like we are. I'm like, I don't know. You know, the man was speaking with a forked tongue. And then he brings this woman up there, this so-called prophetess that, you know, is totally into witchcraft. He brings this woman up and allows her to start ministering to his people. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm praying for this guy, and I had to turn it off. I said, this is really horrible. What an abomination. And then the people are applauding, and they're bringing up their money. You know, sow your $83 seed, and this is your time of deliverance. But yet, they don't have their bills paid. Their church is one of their churches is boarded up. The electricity's been turned off. They couldn't pay the electric bill. And but that's how deceived people are, is that, look, if it's not working, it's not working for the pastor. So if it's not working for them, just because they're giving money and sowing their seeds and whatever, it's not going to work for you. Because the only way you get anything from God is by prayer and supplication. And he said he'd meet your needs. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He just won't. Not God. Yeah. No father does that.
Yeah. And I told myself this morning, I said, my family comes first.
That's right.
That's the first thing. That's the first thing. My family comes first. But to hear a lot of them speak, it's like you gotta help your church first.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Help us first, and then God will help you.
And I'm like, look, if I got a bill to pay, you think I'm going to give you a $20 seed or something like that? No, I'm going to pay my bills, you know, because, you know, and well, you know, the church needs air conditioning. We need the ivory seats embedded with gold and all that. Man, look, come on now. My family is more important. I'm trying to feed my family, and you're worried about how the pulpit looks when the national camera shines on your pulpit.
Well, they had this one lady come up. She was holding a baby, and she came up with her money. And then the false prophetess says to her, "You know, you came up here with this money, but you were saying in your heart that you really couldn't afford it. But yet God's going to bless you because he sees you and sees what you're doing." No, God's not going to bless your selfishness. God cannot bless selfishness. If you're giving money only because you're expecting something in the return, God's not going to bless that because he doesn't bless selfishness.
That's
he blesses a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, the Bible says, for they shall see God. And
exactly.
If you're doing something because you love someone and you really want to help that person, then God will honor that. But he's certainly not going to honor the selfishness we see.
Yeah.
And it's created a monster. It's created a monster.
Where the blessings, that's where the blessings come in at, when you do it from the heart, not because someone's coaxing you and saying, you know, if you do this, God will give you a blessing. That's a gospel of works right there. You know,
it's a gospel of works, yeah.
And you're not going to get a blessing from a gospel of works.
No,
and
you'll get the worst, you go through the worst situations you can even imagine.
Yeah. And,
so all the tithing I did and all the seed sowing, and I had the worst financial mess of my life when I was doing it that way.
Yeah.
I had
the
worst
thing that gets me, and I don't know if you've noticed it too, Susan, the compassion for the poor. I mean, when we compare it to Jesus and then we compare it to the church today, it really is no comparison because it's almost like they mock the poor. Like,
sure they do.
If you're poor, it's because you're not walking by faith. People have been giving you too many gifts, and that's why you are poor. And it's like people fall on hard times. They're going to fall on hard times. Just help people out. You know, and everything. Now, I'm not one of these that just gives money to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that says they don't have no money, because some of the people take their money and just, you know, spend it on cheap liquor and cigarettes or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you know a family that is going through hard times, that's who Jesus is compassionate about. And we don't sit there and mock them and everything and stuff like that. I mean the person needs some help. You don't sit there and say, "Have you been confessing it? Have you been giving your tithes and
but
offerings?"
But that's what they'll do. They'll say, "I've been in those churches where people had great needs, and yet they'd say, 'Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to pray for you.' Okay, great, pray for you. But how about some help paying the electric bill, or help paying the mortgage, or help with the groceries or whatever? Yeah, that's real compassion. That's real Christian love."
Yeah,
not smacking your hand on him and saying, "Yeah, well, let's make a faith confession and let's confess the word over your situation."
Yeah. and they'll say, and you know, one thing I stopped doing was asking people to pray for my finances, is because
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, the first thing they ask you, "Have you been paying your tithes?"
What they ask you. Yeah, have you been paying your tithes? No, I haven't paid tithes since 1997, and I will not pay any tithes. I'm not paying tithes, because tithing is not faith. That's work.
Oh, it isn't. It definitely. And really, in the Bible, it's not money.
Right.
It's not money. Or offerings wasn't money. You know?
Now, Vincent, when is your program coming on? Tell people about your program. We just have about a minute left.
Oh, okay. I'm over here just talking.
No, I enjoyed it. Thank you for calling. Really, thank you so much.
Well, my program is Black by Color only, and the show comes on Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Okay, Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Time, yes. And next week, the week of the 9th, I'm supposed to be off that entire week. I might do a holiday run where I do a show every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
good.
But... typically, it's on Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Be there. Bring your discussions and everything. We had a great time.
I enjoyed your discussion. You had that discussion about racism.
Yeah. Oh, you were listening on that one.
I was listening, yeah. That was really good. That was really good. I thought it was really, really appropriate. You know, it's a touchy topic.
Yeah,
but, I really enjoyed that program very much. You know, I thought it was very, very timely. And I'd like to have some more discussions about this socialized medicine, which is very frightening.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
Oh, good. I'll have to go and listen.
You know, sometimes I just can't find the words to say about it.
it's really amazing all the things that are happening around us, how things are changing so fast, and you wonder, like, what country am I in? Where am I?
Yeah.
Because things are happening so fast to us. The loss of privacy, the way citizens are being investigated and being watched on the internet, and your phone calls are being monitored, and it's very, very weird what's happening. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in big trouble because you can't be rescued. You know, there's no way to be rescued out of this without a personal knowledge and a personal relationship with the Lord of the universe.
Yes.
And the only one that really loves us anyway. The only one that really loves us. But I want to thank my brother Vincent for coming on and his program Black by Color Only on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays, live Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's a great program. You'll really enjoy listening to Brother Vincent because he's got a lot of wisdom. I appreciate your wisdom and I appreciate how you know, you're absolute. And I like that. You know, I really like that because I find there's so much going on now where there's not, people don't focus in on the absolutes and we have to take a stand. As unkind as it might sound to people when we talk about hell is a real place.
Yes.
And nobody wants anybody to go there. It's horrible. The worst part about hell is that you'll be separated from God, and then you will know that there really is a God and that you're separated from Him. And to me, that's probably the worst thing, is to know that people told you about God and they told you about the Savior Jesus Christ and you didn't receive it.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
And that's the message that we need to be preaching instead of get your best life today. You know,
yeah, because God will take care of you somehow, some way. It might not be in the style that you want or the style you're accustomed to. Look what happened this week. A man that was a millionaire, he was on trial for setting fire to his house.
Wow.
And he was found guilty. And when they announced the verdict in the courtroom, he swallowed poison and he died right there.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Yes. It was very, very tragic, a tragedy. And you see that you can't, no matter what, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. They were totally unprepared for it. The judge, his attorneys, that there he was dressed in a suit, and right after they announced the verdict, he put something in his mouth and he died. Swallowed.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm. That is tragic.
Very, very tragic. So you can be a wealthy person one day, and then it can all be gone, and then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So we trust God no matter what we go through, if we're rich, we're poor. We trust God to keep a roof over our head and food on the table and to meet our needs. And whatever else He gives us, thank you, Jesus, for that. But anyway, Vincent, would you pray for our listeners today?
Okay, I appreciate it. And before I do so, I appreciate you, the compliments and everything. I really do, because I really do feel like that when I come into Blog Talk Radio, that I really don't have a lot of knowledge about things. And to hear people compliment my show and everything and talk about the wisdom, you know, all I can do is say, to God be the glory. And I really appreciate that. I love the title, too. Yeah.
I love the title.
Yeah, it's a real catchy title. But I really appreciate that. And
I feel your heart in that.
Okay. Well, let me close us out, and appreciate you allowing me to close us out.
Thanks for calling in. It made a great program.
Okay. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my sister, Susan Puzio, who has come to the airwaves to bring the wisdom of the true word of God. I just thank you, Lord God, that you continue to infuse her with the truth, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, that you continue to infuse her with your wisdom, and that she will continue, Father God, to bring the truth to those who want to hear it, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that those who hear the truth, that they will take heed to the truth, and that they will follow the truth, Lord God. And I pray for the listeners, those who may agree, those who may disagree. I just pray, Lord God, that your truth will be like a light, will be like a shining light burning in their minds, burning in their hearts, and that they will realize that this is the truth. It's not about Susan. It's not about Vincent. It's not about anybody but you, Lord God. It's about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. And we just thank you, Father God. That's who we call upon, Father God, for our wisdom, for our knowledge, for our provisions, Lord God. And that is the only one, that is the only one who can bring us through when times get hard. And we just thank you, Lord God. And I just bless my sister's show. I just thank you, Lord God, for if it is your will that she will have more hearers, Lord God, seeking the truth. And I just thank you, Father God, that whatever your will is for her show, that your will be done and your will alone. And I just thank you, give you the glory, I give you the honor, I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, then. All right, Vincent, thank you so much for stopping by. It's always a great joy to have you.
Oh, yes, your show has got to be one of my favorites, I tell you.
Yeah, well, I love your program, too. I really do. I think you've got some very timely topics and, it's a different perspective, but it's a good program. And I'm so grateful that God's given us this opportunity because we wouldn't be allowed to have programs on television on the so-called Christian channels. They wouldn't have us.
No,
I wish they would have us. I really wish they would allow us to be on.
Yeah.
I think we can help. We can help some of these people before they crash and fall. That's my hope and my prayer is that some of them will listen to what we're saying and come back to Jesus and focus on preaching the gospel, the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll provide the rest. So.
Oh, yes.
Amen. All right, then. So we'll be hearing you, and thanks again for stopping by.
Okay. You have a great Sunday.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
And don't melt in this heat out there.
No, it's not too bad here, but I wouldn't want to be in North Carolina. You can't even go outside.
No.
You melt.
Yeah, it's a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah. I mean, that's hot. In North Carolina, that's hot because it is very humid in that part of the country.
Yeah.
And that's very, very hot. But we have to remember our brothers and sisters in prayer. And please, everybody, please pray that it rains in Colorado. I lived out in Colorado. That's where I met the Lord. 1981, and I'm very familiar with that area, so it's very devastating, and please, God, send rain, and please, Lord, send it today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, then, so God bless you, and
keep
you safe, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for listening today and for tuning into my program. Please tune in again next week. We're usually here. I try to be here faithfully every Saturday at 1 p.m. We'll be bringing you other programs and interesting topics and guests that can add so much. We learn from each other, don't we? How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And we pray most of all that you would ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you don't know him today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to make you a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you've committed. God can forgive you and wash you clean and give you a new beginning. That's what it means to be born again. You're born once of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ is a Savior, and he will change your life, I guarantee you. He will give you peace you can't buy, joy you can't buy. He promises to give you all those things. And in these times that are ahead of us, even when I was looking on the county's foreclosure list, there was 15 pages of foreclosures. 15 pages of foreclosures in one little county alone. So there's a lot of devastation going on. Houses, I was noticing, houses that had sold for $140,000 in 2006, 2007 are now worth about $50,000. So it's very tragic what's happening to people. And we have to remember to have compassion for people. And you get that compassion from the Lord Jesus Christ, from his Spirit living inside of you. And it's the only way. Jesus is the only way. Give your life to him today, because only he really loves you. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.